LALT, L-A-L-T, the Lincoln Academy of Learning and Teaching, an acronym which is becoming more and more embedded in terms of the processes of what we're doing here in higher education. And we're delighted to be able to welcome for the first, what I hope will be a series of sessions talking about the innovations that are coming through with LALT, the Dean of the Lincoln Academy of Learning and Teaching, Dr. Gary Wilson. Gary, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Slight cold, but all's well with the world. That's important. It shows you're, yeah, you're taking one for the team, which is
absolutely
excellent stuff.
I'm not going to let something like not being able to breathe stop me from doing my job.
Precisely. We've also got Shaley McKenzie, who's going to be chipping in with a few questions and thoughts as well. But can we start off by talking a bit about the Lincoln Academy of Learning and Teaching? Because it's one of those things where people are listening to this online and they might be all over the globe. They might sort of think, oh, that's interesting. But aren't all universities academies of learning and teaching, as a matter of fact? Why have you stated that LALT is there embedded within Lincoln?
That's an excellent question. I wish I'd done a little bit more homework in that case. Thanks, Alex. A lot of universities do have something that is specifically related to teaching, especially with changes in the way that higher education is measured. So almost everyone will have heard of the Teaching Excellence Framework, which is currently a big deal, in the same way as the Research Excellence Framework is for research. Then the TEF is basically a way of measuring the teaching excellence of an institution. Now, LALT isn't really a part of that. What we are here for is to try and encourage and support colleagues to innovate in teaching, to share their best practice, to make sure that teaching has the same status as research careers once had. That's kind of it in a nutshell. At the moment with LALT, then, because we're still very new, so I've been in post since the 1st of August, and I was elected in April, I think.
It seems like only yesterday, Gary, when I was casting my vote for that.
Seems like much longer for me, because I have to say, I had a full head of hair when I started the role, and I was clean-shaven.
It's just my migrated self.
It has, yeah. I'll have hairy feet by the end of the next year. Right? What it is in terms of support is basically we're trying to build a teaching repository which will have the same function as the research repository. So the idea is that people who are more focused on teaching as a career will have something that is a kind of a measure of their output, really, aside from research papers and pedagogy and learning and teaching. But it's also a resource that other members of staff can make use of in a way that research papers not so much. So the idea is that people who have a particular innovative approach to teaching, something that isn't innovative but works, they can post up details of their practice. And people who are interested can take those on board. But also people who are more focused on research, people who are new to teaching, they don't have to go through the same kind of level of experimentation that us old-timers had to do. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Back in the day, of course, one remembers the whole notion of teaching plans and structures, which still serve us well today, the notion of beginning, middle, end, or like a good essay, really. How are you going to summate the whole thing? How are you going to bring things back to the fore? But Shaley, you've recently graduated. You did the English degree program here. And ironically, you started off in your higher education career at another university.
I did indeed.
Thinking about maybe going into teaching before you decided, no, you're going to transfer and do an English one. So what have your experiences as a customer, somebody who's, we talk about student as co-producer, we talk about student as co-engager, what have they been over the last few years here at Lincoln?
I think I've had a really good experience in terms of teaching at Lincoln University, and that's clear to see from, I think we got a gold for teaching excellence, which I would personally have to say I definitely felt that that was well earned and well deserved. In terms of teaching as a whole, from my experience, I did 2 years of an English and Education Studies degree at Bishop Grosseteste, and come my last year, finally came to the realisation that I didn't actually want to be a teacher. But I've got friends who are in the teaching profession, and being around about the age of 21, 22 and going into a class is the most nerve-wracking experience of their entire existence, so I've been told. So to have something like LALT is really, really exciting, and it just goes to show you that there is support out there for new teachers. And all the pedagogical tools and everything that they've got to share. That's really exciting.
And of course, we are moving away from this notion that there is a big difference between teaching in, shall we say, the state sector, the comprehensive sector, and then the further education and HE. I mean, I hear this term FE creep that's often used to describe something that HE tends to be challenged by, the notion that somehow there's waves and waves of bureaucracy that's just working through that whole process. Really, from your own point of view, Gary, presumably one of the key aspects, which I know you've shared with colleagues, is to hopefully minimise the amount of additional bureaucracy and provide ways in which we can not just streamline, but also be more effective in terms of what we're doing as academic practitioners who are teaching.
That's kind of the secret goal of LALT, or at least it was. But, one of the things that we want to do is, I think, in addition to providing this bank of resources, and there are a bunch of talks going on, which are more traditional forms of face-to-face communication, which you can sign up to, I think, on the HR website.
We're going to actually talk about that in a few seconds.
Yeah. I think LALT provides a voice that academics haven't really had in any other kinds of four-letter acronyms that we've had to do with education in the past. Then I think the feeling was very much that it was a top-down message, so we were being told that we had to do things. I think LALT, certainly I hope under my deanship, will be a voice for academics. So one of the things that I was elected on was this idea that it would be by the people, for the people. I've been a union activist for a long, long time. So that very much influenced my my views. I think that it's often said that senior managers don't have a view of the ground floor, the coal face where teaching goes on. And I think that that's probably true. We do, and I think it's a good idea that we feed up to the senior echelons in the university. But the easiest thing to do, I think, is to try and identify practices that actually hinder good teaching. And so one of the things that we've been encouraging members of staff to do is to make use of the LALT engagement team to investigate these things. So David Anderson in the business school used the LALT engagement team to organise a series of events to collect people's feelings about the 15-day turnaround rule. So a blanket approach to providing feedback isn't always possible in all areas. Many members of staff are perfectly happy with it, but I think even if nothing changes as a result of that, then I think the idea that we're highlighting areas in which a one-size-fits-all approach doesn't work, I think, is useful for all of us.
It certainly does provide a forum for engagement. I mean, again, bring Shady into this whole process. That 15-day turnaround, was it beneficial from your own point of view? Did you actually say, but surely if you're marking a dissertation, it's going to take longer than if you're actually marking an essay?
Yeah,
and so
no. I don't think a one-fits-all thing is necessarily the correct way to go, but I think personally, that didn't always happen where we did get marks back or anything within that period. But I don't know, personally for me, as soon as I handed something in, I kind of forgot about it and moved on to the next thing. So when I did get the mark back, it was like, oh, I completely forgot about that essay. And it was a nice surprise to get the mark back. But I definitely don't think the 15-day could apply to a dissertation, which is significantly more than, say, a 2,000-word essay.
I mean, ultimately, Gary, there aren't any easy answers, because otherwise they would already have been applied from that point of view. And we are into that whole notion of exploring not just notions of feedback turnaround, but the kind of practicalities of a digital environment, an environment in which more and more material is online. I've been spending the last 3 or 4 years actually recording a lot of my lectures and putting them on podcasts, primarily because, again, it's been a thing that I've observed with students that they've either been recording, which are perfectly at liberty to. We now have a system whereby Panoptico can actually record lectures in theory for us. And we are in a changing environment. Do you still feel that it's critical we don't neglect the human interface structure? Because there is often a time where sometimes I feel if everything is all online, suddenly you think, well, are we not just sort of writing ourselves out of our particular positions here?
As a psychologist, then I very much think that face-to-face contact is important. I've been the lead on the National Student Satisfaction Survey for psychology. for a large number of years. And the thing that always upsets me the most are those comments that you get in the negative comment. Now, usually only one or two, but they still kind of really rankle. And the most disturbing ones, I think, are the ones where students feel like they've been through the 3 years and no one has really got to know them. So I'm very much interested in reviewing the tutorial program, and stay tuned, senior tutors. So a review will be coming to your subject committee soon. The idea, I think, is that the tutorial program provides that kind of human face. I'm very much an advocate of independent learning as well. I'm against the whole notion of students as consumers, partly because that doesn't really breed a very useful approach to learning. If you see yourself as just being some sort of passive sponge, or an empty vessel that's filled by someone standing at the front of a class or posting something up on a Blackboard, then I think that's not really what university's about. It's fine for school, but university is higher education.
And a chance to presumably apply the Krishnamurtian philosophy of education by dialogue.
Yeah, but more, it sounds like I'm doing an advert for the university here, but the whole student is producer.
Professor Mary Stewart will not be averse to that.
Yeah, excellent. You heard it first here, Mary. So I think the whole student is producer ethos really encapsulates what higher education is about for me. It's about the production of new knowledge. And I think that's really crucial for our students to realise that they're not just here to learn about what other people have said in books. That's, you mentioned HE creep, I think. FE creep. FE creep, yeah. Oh, no. We can edit that out later, right? The FE creep, and I think this idea that things like A-level, that degrees are just going to be like A-levels 2.0 is just an awful feeling. One of the things that I got from university, I was the first one in my family to go to university, is it wasn't in terms of anything that you could monetize. It was just a complete change in my seeing of the world. I never really met any middle class people other than my teachers until I went to university, Durham University.
Lots of middle class people there, then, Gareth.
Fewer than you might think. Fewer than you might think. Lots of upper class people. Yeah. So it really, my degree. Psychology, I think what you learn is you learn how to be critical, and there aren't a huge number of facts in psychology, but you generally tend not to lose arguments very much if you're a good psychologist, I think. And it basically opened up this idea that the world wasn't full of facts, that it was all about constructing arguments, that everything was open to interpretation and to dialogue, as you said. And I'm very keen that we try and preserve that in universities as well.
And surely, returning to the concrete and your own experience from an anecdotal perspective, let's talk about when we shared together the science fiction module in terms of how that developed. Was that useful? Were there areas where you'd like to have discovered more? How did you find that whole experience? Because again, as Gary said, we're trying to engage that notion of talking about the materials, the text that we're looking at, and so on.
No, I definitely feel that independent learning is essential to a degree, and that going from GCSEs, A-levels, where you're pretty much spoon-fed information and you just regurgitate it, the expectations at university are completely different. And it is basically your own development, and it's up to you. Although you may be 18, 19, as an adult, it's up to you to push your own development. And I feel like a lot of the modules, especially for English, really helped in pushing your development, because it left you questioning why. And especially with the teaching here at Lincoln, there's a lot of questioning going on, which is always good.
Which sounds workable. Sounds as though it's reasonable. It's a good, effective process. Across the base, of course, there is that line, is there a cognate difference between, on the one hand, what people in forensic science will do and what people in English or the humanities or journalism or public relations or psychology will actually do? And I suppose inevitably there's a slight reluctance to obviously have a one-size-fits-all, because that's never going to result in happiness, I wouldn't have thought, Gary.
No. I think we can do more things centrally, however. One of the things that I did the very first duty I had with my Dean of Lalt hat on was I gave a talk with Jacqueline Mayer of the Student Support Service and with Jenny Barnes of the Students Union about a kind of an induction to university life. And I think that if we're going to promote independent learning, and I think we should, and I think probably the only reasonable way to affect that is to increase the number of digital pieces of information that are available to our students. We have to teach them how to do that. So, I mean, you mentioned that about spoon-feeding at A-level.
Yeah.
I think if we want students to become independent learners, then we have to give them the tools. It's only now that I'm starting to realise exactly how much students had done for them at A-level. So the number of our undergraduates who come up and say, will you have a look at this draft of an essay before I submit it? And we have 315 undergraduates.
You can't do that for everybody, yeah.
No, otherwise we'd get nothing done.
Exactly.
And also I think it's problematic because you're just producing different drafts of the same thing. And if in the past when I have looked at drafts of people's dissertations, for example, then one of the things that struck me is that I'll make very detailed comments and they just don't get made. So I don't think that showing how a student how to do something is necessarily that useful. I think it's much better to give them general skills. And so one of the things that a bunch of my colleagues and I are working on is maybe is investigating the use of the Getting Started program and trying to integrate that and maybe expand the induction week so that it's more focused about the sorts of skills that students will want. And some of these are a bit counterintuitive. So a lot of the time students will say, which books should I buy? Well, it's not always a good idea to buy books because you may not necessarily need
the whole book. The chapters, yeah.
And having a friend, someone that you know that you can book share with, I think is a great idea.
Yeah, definitely.
I think also the most frequent piece of advice I give to people who are coming to university is instead of opening up a textbook that you're going to be reading within 3 weeks anyway, then maybe just learn to iron. It was something I sorely needed someone to teach me how to do it at university as an undergraduate. Or maybe it's how to cook. That would have been quite good as well.
Or use the washing machine.
Yep, all of these
nothing
things.
Nothing wrong with Durham beans on toast. Way well, forward for we're in graduates.
It was even worse than that. In my college, then we had to pay full board. So we
you got a few food cooked for
we
for
got
you.
Well, heat was applied to it. I'm not sure I would do that. Our college kitchen used to... ill-advisedly, I used to think. They used to promote themselves as being very efficient. So they would always be telling us about how they'd won an award for the number of people they could feed with the smallest outlay per head.
Oh, goodness me.
They tell that to us, the people who haven't eaten the slop that they were providing.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's much better now.
And let's move on because we're in danger of actually going off into an anecdotal series of reminiscences, which is not necessarily on point. Gary provided an excellent overview of where Lalt has kind of emerged from, the kind of notions you've actually got in place. Let's look ahead now to upcoming events and things that are available that people can actually look to attend. Just a sort of slight caveat, because people might be able to access these podcasts from outside. This is pretty much for folk within the University of Lincoln.
It is, yes.
So let's share with us what sort of things are coming up, which you're particularly looking forward to over the next few weeks.
There's a staff development programme, which you can book onto, I believe, via the HR sign-up site. The Lalt website will soon have a much more active blog presence.
Maybe even some podcasts as well.
Maybe some podcasts as well. All I need is someone who's going to encourage me to make more use of those sorts of things, Alex. There's also the, on the 7th of November, there's the Education in a Digital Age exhibition. It's more of an expo, actually. There are a bunch of talks from colleagues who've used specific aspects of...
The Oculus Rift.
Like Oculus Rift, yeah. But also different aspects of technology. Not just making use of a particular technology itself, but applying it to the classroom in innovative ways. There are going to be a group of vendors coming in. So Talos Aspire, for example, are going to have hands-on demonstrations as to how you can get more out of your reading lists and how you can use them in different ways. Lynda.com are going to be there. They have a variety of tools that members of staff can make use of. So that's on the 7th. It's in the engine shed. I believe that there will be multiple servings of pizza as well. So
the pizza is actually there. It's amazing. And
count me in. Yeah.
Hopefully this will be out and published certainly before then. And if it's after the 7th of November, well, simply think of what you missed. It's all right. I've been there as well. The official launch of Lout, I had to send my apologies because we had a welcome event for the public relations students, which I obviously had to go to. It just happens. But that's time machines. That's what we need. Gary, if I was to ask you now, and we will come back to you clearly a couple of times during your tenure as Dean of Lout, what would be your dream number one objective 18 months from now, or a little bit less than that? Would you like to have actually sort of said, yeah, I'd like to have had that in position? It's like an ADA report, isn't it?
It is a little bit. Thanks for that, Alex. So I guess that Lout would be generating its own activities. So at the moment, I very much want Lout to be bottom-up. But the difficulty is that all we have is a structure. We don't have any real materials in place. And Lout it'll survive or it'll fail entirely on the basis of the interest that our colleagues supply to it. So Lout isn't a thing that is separate from the academics who teach in the university. And I include support staff for whom teaching forms a significant part of their duties as well. So if I will retire as a happy man if Lout is self-generating, if there's that spark of interest in colleagues, that they see what Lout can be, they take it and they run with it, because ultimately Lout is for all of the academics and members of staff who teach in the university.
And Shaylee, what would you like to see us do from the teaching excellence framework and such like?
I think the same, yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that.
We're on the same page then. Dr. Gary Wilson, it's been wonderful touching base with your good self. We will get together again in the near future to continue with these podcasts, if that's okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. I look forward to it. Thanks, Alex.